Welcome
to the Power Cycle Podcast. I don't even know what episode it is because it's been a while. Like 15?
I can find out. Keep up with the intro while I do.
I don't think it's 15. I think it's... I'm going to say 14. 14. That's my final answer. Final answer. And Mike is slowly surging.
It's not my fault. It's the internet.
Don't worry. Here we go. I'm feeling
it. While I'm doing that, who are you?
I am Jack Barron.
And I'm Mike Knowles.
So...
This is number... this should be 12.
This is 12?
Yes.
12. Oh, man. Okay. So not as high. But 12 is still a good number. That means we've done this 12 weeks.
I accidentally called the same one 10 twice.
Oh, really? So is it 12 or 13?
It's 12. No, it's okay. 12. I was confused at first because I saw 10. I'm like, oh, it's 11. I saw 10 below it. And I'm like, it's not right.
Well, I'm going to say it's been a very busy summer. So, you know, this is always kind of, I guess, the issue being college students.
Yeah, especially because we don't, like, live, like, right next to each other.
Yeah, so we don't have that benefit of hanging out all the time. So, we have to kind of do as much footage as we can.
Enough excuses!
Yeah. Well, I think it's fun, because I always like watching our videos, which I know we filmmed together.
Forever ago?
Yeah, but no, but not forever ago, because I just wear the same shirt in, like,
In,
like, 10 videos.
Yeah.
So, I can always tell.
Because
like,
you just do a bunch of shit at once. Yeah,
so it's really fun to, like, just watch a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and it's always the best.
Except for the golf ones, and now, like, you know, which people will find out about. And so
I wanted to do this right away after, and I forgot we need to use a DSLR because I was wanting to just be wearing the same thing.
Oh yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, we need the DSLR to record your shit because I have like a webcam. So yeah.
So I was just thinking about gaming today. You know, usually I come in here with some type of news story, some type of a big topic.
It's almost as if there's like a structure to the show.
Yes. Crazy. Almost. So I want to start off with something very simple before I move into the bigger subject I had in mind. And so in the summer for me, gaming-wise, always feels kind of dry. I always feel like I'm kind of just...
It's a hype season.
Yeah, I feel like everything's coming, and I'm kind of just playing games. And for me, I have, like, I guess, guilty pleasure games. Not like games I'm ashamed to play, but just games where it's like... Like, for example, like I've played BioShock like 15 times. I don't consider that...
No, that's not guilty pleasure. No,
I don't consider that a guilty pleasure game.
A guilty pleasure would be, like, a lot of mobile games, or, like endless grind games like that.
For me, I play. It's a game I've come back to. I probably since 2008. I think that's when it came out. Or I it was the first game I ever had on my 360, and I still have it to this day.
Sure.
And that game is Medal of Honor Airborne. Now, I don't
think I played that one.
I don't think it's a high quality game. I wouldn't be like, this is a high quality first person shooter, but there's something about it that I can sit down and play the entire game from start to finish. I've done it dozens of times. I just sit down, I start a new game. I don't even like there's like weapon upgrades. Like it builds off of itself, but every time I just start a new game. Just because I'm like, whatever. I'm just gonna start a new game and play it. And I was wondering if you had games like that for you. And kind of what do you think it takes? Like what do you think makes those games for you?
Oh man. So for me, like the one I can definitely tell you is Age of Empires. Age of Empires 2, Age of Kings, plus expansion. That's like my G. Like, that's like, I need to grind away some hours doing some, like, nonsensical gaming. It's like, that's it. Like, I'm a boot up some Age of Empires. God, that game is so good. It still holds up.
And that's similar, that's like a Civilization game, like Civilization.
But it's a more traditional RTS, where, like, you move all the units, like,
okay,
and stuff. But,
like,
yeah.
Like, Age of Empires, like that.
It's more like Command & Conquer.
Okay, Command & Conquer.
Yeah, it's more like Command & Conquer than it is Civilization.
Like, I played Total War, and I played,
More, like, you're clicking on, you're not, like, clicking on tiles, you're clicking on units and buildings.
Yeah.
And there's not, like, restrictions.
I know for me, kind of going off of that, I think there are people who play Civ in, like, a strategic sense. They'll play, like, they're like, oh, I want to win the game. I do not play Civ like that.
That's the same way for me with Age of Empires.
I play Civ because it's purely like a building simulator where I'm like, I'm just running a country. I'll play Total War the same way. Like, I don't commit like troops. I try and like build this immense economy.
Right, and that's the same thing for me. Yeah. I'm kind of like role playing if anything. I don't care about like the strategy or something like that. Like, I could have beat the CPU like 50 hours ago, but I'm just like, nah, I'm gonna like keep doing this shit. Like,
I find the battles almost to be a hindrance. I'm like, oh, like I gotta do this fight.
Oh, it's like, oh, can I hire people for this?
Yeah, like I love just like I love going through like the taxes and like people aren't happy, so I try and figure out how to make them happy and like all those
quote
things.
Jack Barron 2017. I like it when people are not happy.
I mean, I just come back and it's just fun.
Sure.
To be It just kind of turns my brain off. I feel like I'm thinking, but like not thinking too hard. And with Medal of Honor Airborne, it's kind of the opposite, where I play just because I don't think any World War II... Like, I think there are good World War II shooters, obviously, there's a whole bunch.
Sure.
But, like, for me, Medal of Honor Airborne just, like, captures, I think, everything. I always liked the Airborne when I was a kid. That part of World War II history, like, always was, like, stuck out to me. Like, Band of Brothers I liked.
Sure. It was very fresh.
Yeah, so when I played Medal of Honor Airborne, I was like, oh, my God. And, like, I got out of the plane, and, like, you're controlling it, you're flying, like... And it's just an open level. And it's like most first-person shooters are on, like, you know, you're going on a path. They just drop you on a map. It gives you 5 objectives, and you can do them in any order you want.
Oh, interesting.
You just run around, and you're in the middle of a fight. Like, so, like, when you blow up one objective, there's no fighting over there anymore, and people are fighting on the other side. And that's just what's fun about it. Like, I don't think it's designed extremely well. I don't think... I mean, the graphics, I think, still hold up to this day.
Okay.
Like,
I'm going to Google this while you're talking.
Like, I'm immensely impressed when I play Medal of Honor Airborne, because I think it still holds up to, like, some top-level games when it's played. But
Airborne, but okay.
Yes. And if you look at it, I don't think it got, like...
So, 2007.
Wow, it's that old. Okay. But I don't think it has, like, glowing reviews. Like, look, that's pretty nice.
It's... Fine. The,
I think it's on a computer.
Like, the
I
mean, textures are good. The model's not great.
No.
The character model isn't good. The rest of the world textures are
pretty... Oh, I mean, I'll tell you, it is
cool. Like, that soldier right there is not okay. It's the rest clunky. Of the landscape is pretty good.
I'll tell you, it is clunky. It is, like, you are... There's no mobility to it. Like, it's
oh, very... so it's like my other... It's like my game that really to this in the sense that isn't Age of Empires, which is Battlefront 2.
Oh, so you... I like... I feel like Battlefront 2 is a game I really... I feel like some people are really into it. Did you get really into it? Like,
you... What were, do you mean by really into it? So, like, I never played it online. I've only played it post-servers.
Okay, I never played it online.
I only played it post-servers.
I played it purely...
Or at places where, like, people didn't have online.
Like, me and my friend would play it. And we would just sit down and be like, okay, like, this is what we're going to do for, like, 5 hours. We're just going to play Galactic Conquest.
Right.
And, like, wouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
And... I think it's very interesting just because I don't think I've had a game do that in a while. I don't think I've had... I'm trying to think of a game that I have bought recently. Like, I don't play Overwatch as a guilty pleasure. I play that in a competitive sense.
I wouldn't even call, like, Battlefront as a guilty pleasure, though. Yeah, I was like, I think I know what you're getting at when you're saying guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, it's your thing you keep going back to fill time, and, like, it isn't, like, you know, it isn't, like, the bell of the ball, it isn't, like, the newest thing
exactly.
on the shelf, but it's this game you like going back to, even if it's not, like, a, like, Battlefront 2 is kind of like a cop-out because that's, like, a legendary multiplayer, like,
repeat game. I wouldn't consider, like, you know, a masterpiece of game. I think it's a very good
story. No, I'm not saying a masterpiece, but, like, that's a game that has a very large following of people that are like, oh, this game's amazing. Whereas, like, Battlefront Airborne is, like, that game where, like, you know, like you say, like, oh, there isn't a lot of people that talk about this
it's
game.
It's kind of like when I ask people what's their favorite movie, and they'll say something like, oh, my favorite movie's Norbit. I'm like, that's not your favorite movie. I'm like, I know for a fact that's not your favorite movie.
You're just
movie.
Saying that to be interesting, yeah, which, like, is okay, but...
Like, what's, like, they're like, there are certain movies that I think... are qualified for favorite movies.
Sure.
Like, they're like some, like, you know, that, like if someone says, like, I think Star Wars can be a favorite movie. Like, you know, I think that there are, yeah. Like, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, it has to be an Oscar winner, but, like, if someone says Norbit, I'm like, that's not your favorite
movie. If someone
movie.
Says, like, Tommy Wiseau's The Room, I'm
yeah.
just being like,
I'm like, can you no. watch Norbit 15 times? Like, if you can watch Norbit 15 times,
like,
fine.
Like, for me, for that, which I can say, like, I'll watch it, like, infinite times, I know isn't, like, a super big movie, is, like, Tower Heist.
Okay.
Like, that's, like, what I mean. Like, I watched that movie infinite times. And, like that isn't a masterpiece.
I saw Saving Private Ryan in 8th grade, and my mom could tell you I watched it every day for like a week. I just watched it. I went home.
That's a lot of hours. That's like a lot of hours.
I went home, turned it on, and, like, the next day I came, I just watched it. And there was, like, 3 months of my life where I would just, like, turn it on, like, once.
Wait,
a
no,
week.
Did you finish it in a day, though? Like, did you always?
Yeah, I would just sit down.
Jeez,
down
that's a
it.
Lot of hours.
Like, I'll just sit down and watch it. Like,
yeah,
and
but I think that's my other thing on this, where, like, I think that, like, you say there's not a lot of games that are like that these days, and what part of that is games switching to being a service to where, like, they'll lose a lot of value when they're not, like, the newest thing on the market. Like,
well, I think it's just very interesting how, you know, I wouldn't, like, if someone was like, oh, I always go back to The Witcher 3. Like, of course you do. Like, you know, or I go back to Bioshock. Of course you do. Like, Halo, yes. Like, those are games that are just up there in the sense of, like, it's not like this weird game stuff. Like, LocoRoco. And I'm like, remember, like, I was so hyped about that game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a game that I was like, oh my God. Like, I remember LocoRoco. I'd play that still if I had it. Like, that's like something like that where You know, my brother would play Just Cause 2 for, like, he would just play that. He wouldn't even do anything in it. He would just play it. I'm like, okay, like, that's a game. That's a guilty pleasure. Because it's not, like, a masterpiece of gaming, you know?
Yeah.
That's like someone, again, it's like someone saying, oh, I watched, you know, like when someone says I've watched Star Wars 50 times, I'm not impressed by that.
Right.
Because I'm like, of course.
Why wouldn't you watch Star Wars?
Like, of course. Like, that's a good movie. Like, of course you have. Like, that's why you've watched it. Whereas, like, if someone's like, oh, man, I always, like, one of my favorite movies is Buried. It's about a guy who's stuck in a coffin. All my friends hate
it. Yeah, I know.
But, like, I watched it.
I hate that movie also.
Okay, I watched it. It's one of my favorite movies. And I watched it dozens of times.
No, I mean, I can see the appeal. It's and, like, for me, like, Buried Underground, that's like, for me, it's like, that's like one of my, like, there's very few things that I'm like, very much like afraid of in a nonsensical manner where it's like, like people are like, oh, I'm afraid of burning alive. It's like the chances of you burning alive are like very like it's like falling from high heights, spider snakes, buried or some form of suffocation.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
For me, those are the things like you mention it and I'm irrationally like okay with what's going on.
But I think it's fun because I just think with gaming, again, this is also a kind of the bigger topic at hand, is I feel like games today aren't, you know. Like, if I watch a movie, it's a one-and-done deal. I watch this movie, I go, okay.
You hit it, you quit it.
The movie is done. I have seen everything about this movie. Same thing with books, most TV shows. Like, it, once you have watched something, it is over, and you get that thrill.
You get, like, completionist.
Yeah, you get the thrill of it being over. And I think that there are, like BioShock ends, and, like, I sit down, I go, oh, I got the end. I can move on. You know, I beat Medal of Honor Airborne, I go, I beat it. Now I can go play it again. You know, and I feel like just today, when I'm playing a game, I'm almost like, there's no... Like, I just beat Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2 last night. I beat the final boss.
Oh, nice, nice.
And it's granted, that's more of an MMO. That's a bit more meant to be playing afterwards. But even after I beat it, I was kind of, like, empty. It's kind of like, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like I kind of completed something. And, you know, I wouldn't sit down and go, I'm going to sit down and play this over and over again. You know, I'm not going to go back to it over and over again. And that's what's interesting is I just feel like games today are, again, like you said, a service. Like, I was reading an article where it's, I have it up right here. It says, Riot increasing League of Legends Riot points by 20%. And to me, I thought about it for...
Due to Brexit.
Yeah, due to Brexit. I was just...
Wait, look at it, letting. Look at that. There's no letting.
Yeah,
there's no letting. Literally, like, the first line of text is the bottom of the G is going into the zero on the next line.
And
come on. What site is this?
PC Invasion.
Come on, PC Invasion. And get your shit together. Sorry.
That's okay. And I didn't think about this in the sense of, like, oh, League of Legends is affected or play. I just kind of thought about it in the sense of, like, wow, I'm reading this article about a game that is increasing, like, costs for players, like there's an economy being done. Like
well, no, that's a microtransaction.
That's true, but what I'm saying is, I sat there and I went, "Wow, that wasn't happening." I bought Medal of Honor Airborne, that was it. I just had it. Like there was multiplayer, but that got shut down, so I just had it in my hand. When you bought Battlefront 2, you just had it. Like that was it. You know, you weren't like, oh, "What's going to happen?" That's like about Overwatch. Like I think Overwatch is very fascinating because that's one of the first games I've ever gotten into, like, competitively, where I'm, like, sitting down, like, reading about it, like, how do I get better at it? I sat there, like...
Oh, wait, I know my real answer. I know my real answer for this. We're, like... it doesn't count, it's not, like... So, like, the other... Age of Empires kind of cop-out, because, like, it's a bunch of instant thing over and over again. It's not, like, a story-based game, like Medal of Honor, but, like, this. I got my real answer here. Simpsons Hit and Run on the GameCube.
Sure, that's a great one. Yeah,
that's one.
Like Simpsons.
I played the shit out of that one.
I remember me and my buddy were playing back when probably like 2 years ago. Like me and one of my fraternity brothers, we were just playing Marvel Nemesis for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
Like a fighting game. We were just playing it. And I was like, wow. Like it's just a very. I feel like when you play these games. In the past, like I think the advent of achievements affected me. I think the advent of like multiplayer. Like, when I sat down and played Nemesis, it was just like, when we beat each other, it was like, oh, that's it. There was no bar that popped up that was like, XP, and like, I got a little loot box. I was just playing it for the sake of playing it. And that, to me, is what I think what I'm trying to get at. I find that phenomenon very fascinating. I feel like even now, if I didn't get an achievement for playing a game, I would feel less inclined to play it.
Really? Even though achievements are literally pointless.
Yeah, because I just feel like I've been doing it for so long. Like, even, like, I can't play a multiplayer game if there's not an XP bar. Like, I can't play it. I can't, like...
But does that mean the multiplayer game isn't good, then? Is that, like...
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. Like, that's not how I'm judging. It's just me personally. Like, I can't... Like, Fallout 3. I remember I did all the side quests of Fallout 3, and I got... You know, in that game, you can only get to, like, level 20 or 30.
Yeah.
I got to level 30. I just stopped playing it. I didn't want to play it anymore because I was no longer... being rewarded. I was no longer
but doesn't that mean that the game itself isn't rewarding, is what it is? Like,
maybe that's what it is.
I mean, game itself is not rewarding enough. Like it isn't it, now you're not on this dopamine kick of being like, yeah. Oh god, I gotta do it. Oh, look at this shine, bright flash. Oh my god, look at all this, like, rewards I'm getting. And now, like, when it stops, the game itself isn't rewarding.
That's what I mean. And granted, that was when I was a little younger, but even now, like, you know, Overwatch, and, like, playing Quick Play in Overwatch. I never touch Quick Play anymore. Like, I don't touch it because I'm like, I get XP, sure. But other than that, I'm just playing Overwatch for nothing. I'm like, where are my competitive points?
Sure.
Where's my, you know, where's all this stuff that I'm actually playing?
Sure, and I'm the same, but I'm at the point where, like, with Overwatch, where it's like, for me, I play the game to test myself. It's not
sure.
Like loot boxes, I cared about the dance emotes, and that's, like, the only thing I ever really cared about Overwatch. Is like those came out, and I'm like, shit, I gotta buy 5 loot boxes so that I can, like, get the extra 50 points I still need to get this last emote before the event ends. But, like,
and, like, yeah. I don't mean personally, I'm trying to get, but, like, I know me and my, you know, I think it takes a very special game to really awake that. Like, I know a lot of my friends play Breath of the Wild, and they're like, it's the best thing ever. And I know that game doesn't have XP bars and stuff like that. It's, like, purely you're playing it for the sake of playing.
It technically does. Like, you get access to more content the more things you do, essentially. Like,
sure, but I wouldn't say it's an RPG in the sense of, like, oh, like, if, you know, grab this, you know, you can just go grinding enemies and you just...
No, you can.
Yeah, but,
you get materials, and you use materials to get
stuff. What I'm saying is you want to get to, like, level 100, and then you can just walk up to the final boss and be like... Pfft. And, like, you know,
no, you can do it. That's exactly how Breath of the Wild works.
Really? I don't.
So there's I haven't played it, but, like, so there's guard. You so with Breath of the Wild, you can face the final boss basically within the beginning of the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like,
okay.
You can just walk right to the final boss and face him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But it's gonna be insanely hard.
Okay.
So, like, you get these teammates. I'm gonna, like, butcher the shit out of this. You get, like, teammates by finding these guardians and either completing their quest or defeating them in combat. I would assume it's one or the other. And then if you do that, then they will assist you in the final boss. So, like, they'll provide some sort of assistance or weaken him in some way. I don't know exactly how it works.
Okay.
And then in addition, there's things like trials, where, like, I know they just added a new set of DLC trials where you complete all, I think it's 100 trials, you get the Master Sword, and it never breaks. Like, unlike everything else, it breaks in the game. So yeah, this totally, it is its own way of doing it, but it totally exists.
Sure, and I think that's what, like, I know me personally, I remember the game where I sat down, it had a very... Like, wow, like, games are experiences. You know, me and my roommate, we played...
Ignore what I'm doing. Keep talking.
I was like, what is going on?
Keep talking.
We played Firewatch together. We sat down, and we played Firewatch, which is a game where you just walk around, and you're on the radio, and it tells a story to you. And it's basically a walking simulator. And to me, I found that fascinating, because for basically that whole semester we lived together, you know, we were playing... Overwatch, we were playing Rainbow Six Siege, or we were playing some type of shooter, to the point where we were no longer, you know, I didn't feel like I was playing a game for the sake of playing a game. And then when we downloaded Firewatch, we just sat down and we were like, wow, like, whoa, like, this is an experience, this is a story. Like, he would leave the room while I played, I'd leave the room while he played, and, like, we just kind of treated it as if it was, like, you know, we're both going through this experience together. And I remember doing that. I was like, wow, like, you know, that got me back into gaming almost. I got, like, that experience, I was like, wow, you know what? Like, gaming has things to offer. You know, that, you know, not that I had grown jaded, but it's just I'm not financially in a place where I'm going out and buying games.
Right.
You know, I'm not going out and, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of games that are terribly piquing my interest as much as I used to as when I was younger. Like, I remember when I was younger, I'd buy any game off the freaking shelf.
Oh yeah, I buy games like Five Below.
Yeah,
they were like obviously bad because they're at Five Below for $5, but
it's like playing for the sake of playing. I think that's my issue. Is I think achievements. I think the XP bars, and even I think, you know, just the fact that games are becoming services. You know, like Overwatch, Rainbow Six Siege, you know, these are games where, like, when you buy it, you know, you're in a season. You're, it's almost basically you pick up another hobby. Like, it's, that's like, Overwatch to me is almost a hobby where I'm like, okay, this is something that I have to keep up with, and if I don't, I get worse at it. And that's what's interesting. It's no longer like a book. It's no longer like a movie where I can just sit down, be like, wow, you know what I'm in the mood for? I'm in the mood for this game that I haven't done in a while.
Right.
Like, I could, like, because I enjoy Overwatch, and you couldn't do that with Overwatch. You couldn't just leave it on the shelf for a year and a half, pick up and be like, oh, I'm just gonna jump in. I'm going to enjoy the experience. Because it might be frustrating. There's a whole competitive, there's all this stuff that you're missing. Whereas when I pick up Medal of Honor, I go, oh, hello, gorgeous. And I just put it in, and it doesn't matter.
It just works.
I can play it for 10 minutes, I can play it for 20. I just sit down, I get this little rush, I'm like, wow, like, I'm just playing this game that I enjoy. Or when I'm playing Bioshock, I took my time, I just sat down, just walked through it. And I think that's what, you know, there are a lot of single-player games, but I haven't found a single-player game like that where, because I still need that achievement almost. I still need that some type of reward, because I need... Like, I hear people, you know, I hear, like, you know, Breath of the Wild is very worth playing. I hear a lot of it, I just don't have these consoles. And I was playing The Last of Us, and, you know, that was very good. I was, like, getting into that at the time. I was borrowing my friends. But, you know, again, like, The Last of Us is, like, a masterpiece thing, you know what I mean?
That's right.
That's, like, this is the, like, and Breath of the Wild's another masterpiece game. Like,
sure.
You know, these games are single player, and you kind of just play for fun, are, like, these masterpiece games. And, like, I remember playing Shadow of Mordor, and I was like, I got really into it. I was like, this game is fantastic. And, you know, one of my biggest gripes with the entire game, I tell this to everyone, is when you beat that first island, like the Mordor, you go to the second one, I immediately wanted to turn it off, and I do everything all over again. I had to go to every tower, I'd do all this stuff, and I was like, ugh, like, I liked how you were, if it was just one place and I conquered it, I might have played it again. The fact that there was a second one made me furious. Far Cry 3 was the same thing. I beat the first island. I was like, woo, I did it. Nope, second island. I was like, no, I'm done. Like, that's stupid. Why is there a second one? I don't want a second one. It should all be in the first one. Like, or at least tell me there's a second
one. I paid for an island vacation, not an island's vacation.
I mean, that's a dumb gripe that I'm getting more content. I mean, like, with Shadow of Mordor.
But it's repetitive content.
Yeah, instead it's
of
like, just like...
It didn't feel unique. It just felt like, all right, do it again, new place.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and yeah, and then I show up, there's all new war chiefs. I was like, I'm just doing the same thing that I was doing. Like,
sure.
There wasn't anything new. And that's what I'm kind of harping on, is I just find it very fascinating that games have reached this point where, you know, things like Brexit are affecting their pricing and their microtransactions. You know, Overwatch is adding a new character. Like, you know,
Overwatch is the exception where, like, it's all free. So, like...
Oh, no, not in the sense that... In cost, not by any means, something like that. I'm just saying it's fascinating in the sense that we've reached a point where, you know, I sit down on a computer and I go, what changes are being made to my game so that I need to prepare mentally so I can compete? You know, it's like we play Magic. Like, you know, Magic is a game where, like, they're adding more things. I expect that from Magic. But gaming, it started off as, you know, Pong, and is now at this point where, like, you know, I was talking to these guys and they were like, oh, my friends at the CSGO in Germany, like, there's this big tournament, and, you know, and there's pictures of guys with these big beers. It's like a stadium.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely. Wow. I was like, this is where gaming is, and, like, this is where all the money's going to be. And so I'm wondering, like, why would you make a story game like Firewatch, which is only a one-time... It's a book. It's a movie.
And yeah.
I put it on my shelf and I'm done. Whereas Overwatch, they're probably making hand over fist.
I know you're arguing for them right now, but, like, the way you said that just sounded like I imagine you being in a boardroom. Like, why would I invest in this game? I finish it. I put it on a shelf. Boom. It's done. No more money. Like,
that's what it is. Like, that's what it is.
No, but you just sound like... just like you sound like you're being, like, a totally different person right there.
Like, well, I'm saying, like, that's the issue is, like... I'm not saying that, you know, gaming's dying. I'm just saying it's fascinating and, like, not worrying, but it's just very cool because my kids are going to grow up in a world, like, my cousins are, like, who are 12 are playing Rainbow Six Siege, and they're like, oh, the new operators are coming out. I'm like, what? I was like, when I was playing at 10, I just had the console and that was it. Like, there was nothing else you did.
Yeah.
Like, I had GameCube. the only person I was playing with was like the person next to me, and that was it. Like no new character.
Yeah, the new content was like hidden content. Like when you beat Sonic Adventure 2 and you beat the hero in the dark mode, all of a sudden it's like there's a third story. You're like, what? That was the thing. Like,
yeah, that's. I think it's. I mean, I love that this DLC is a thing. I love that people can add new content to games and mods. I love all that stuff. Games. But it's just very fascinating, where I think, you know, my brain is getting used to like this season game mode. This like when I bought Rainbow Six Siege, I was like, ooh, Rainbow Six. I love Rainbow Six Vegas 2. I'm gonna love this game. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this is completely different.
Right, and I think honestly, we're in a shift back towards like where gaming used to be. So I think definitely in the last like 3-4 years, like there has been that huge paradigm shift. But I think with seeing EA investing in like independent studios with the game we're really excited for, where the guys break out of jail, You have Bethesda coming back and really focusing on their, like, Bethesda could easily just have gone all in on making, like, content-based games. They could have made Fallout 4 a game where it was, like, an MMO system, there was, like, an open world, we had multiplayer and all that stuff. And it could have just made it a diluted-down, experience, seasonal-based content system, and they didn't, and you see this investing in games like Wolfenstein and Wolfenstein 2 coming out now, and you know, like in the Fallout sequels and in mod content by users. And I think now that there are people who remember those days fondly, and they're now in the point in the industry where they can make these changes and not have to worry about the money necessarily.
And I'll say this now three of my friends have Switches, so I'm seeing, you know, it's more involved in my life than it was before. And I'll give it props in the sense of I respect it in the fact that games like Super Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, even games like Thumper, my friend just got, and I was playing Thumper for the first time. Like games like that where, you know, it's not about purely the multiplayer. It's not about purely like, oh, I got to get on the multiplayer, I got to get on the season, I got to get all this stuff, I got to, you know, be prepared. You know, Super Mario Odyssey is going to be a single-player game. Breath of the Wild is a single-player game.
Crash Bandicoot was one of the biggest-selling games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people want... that's what I like seeing. I like seeing that these big titles that are being sold are showing that, like, people enjoy a single-player experience. You know, that's what kind of I was just thinking about today, where, you know, I'm like, wow, like, Overwatch is almost like a job. Like, I have to kind of sit down and take care of these points. If I don't, I'm going to lose them. And, you know, there's a new character. If I miss time with him, I'm not gonna be good enough. Like, what does he do? And it's fun. It's very, you know, interesting. I love that there are games like that. But my fear is almost in the sense of, I'm like, I don't think that's where I want all of gaming.
Right, when all games are like that, I now no longer have the time to play all the games and experience everything there is to experience.
Yeah, like there's a place for Overwatch. There's a place for, you know, MMORPGs. Absolutely. But, you know, in a time where, you know, games are getting expensive, you know, you have to go, okay, well, why would I spend, you know, $100 million on this single-player game that everyone's going to buy once and move on when I can turn it into this multiplayer game that people, well, I'll charge them $5 to get this character, and now I'm making more money than I've ever had. Dude, that's a much more sound investment. But I think what's nice is with the Switch, with the way it's selling, all the games are selling, you know, people are like, okay, there's a place for this. You know, there's a place for single-player games. And I'm not saying that they're ever close to dying. I don't think they've ever been. You know, Horizon Zero Dawn was another game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, all these games are single-player.
Still big. See screenshots that are gorgeous in that game.
Of course. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's not like they're dying. It's just like, I think, at 21 years old, about to, like, head into the real world, I sit down and I go, oh, man, like, I feel like every game I have is, like, this multiplayer game that I have to invest time into. Because I think, again, at 21, you don't have a lot of money to throw around. So you're kind of like, okay, am I going to buy the single player game where I have to invest? And it can even be harmful. Like, you know, The Witcher 3 takes a lot of time to beat. Like, Games like Skyrim take a lot of time. Like, Fallout 4 took a lot of time.
That's actually why I was surprised when I heard you didn't, like, enjoy or at least put hours into Destiny. Because, like, Destiny is, like, the amalgamation of that, where it's, like, you could treat it like a service or you could treat it like a single player based game. And the way I always played it was like more like the way I didn't realize this at the time because I didn't really play mobile games, but when I played Fire Emblem Heroes and I realized what it was like to play a mobile game, I realized that I was playing Destiny like a mobile game, where it's like I would be done with school, I would come home, I would play it for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour max, maybe I want to do like a larger event, And then I get off and I go do something else. And maybe like 4 hours later, I come back and I do it again. And I do it in these repetitive motions where I'm getting this, these experiences, whether it's by myself or maybe with some other people, but I don't have to feel like I'm committing all this time at once. I can commit the time whenever I feel like it. And I can spread out my time however I feel like it. If there's a day I want to sit on it for 4 hours, sit up for 4 hours and learn all this cool stuff about the lore and like learn all this cool stuff about how good I am at it. But you know what? If I can't play it for a week, I can come back and I'm still at the same spot and I'm not punished for it either.
I was gonna say, do you ever find yourself kind of going through it's kind of going through my mind a little bit in, you know, with, I think with summer and, you know, school and everything and with getting busier, you know, do you ever find yourself kind of questioning the amount of time you can invest in games? Because I feel like that's also part of my issue now is, you know, I sit down, I play Overwatch for an hour. I put in 2 or 3 matches. I'm like, okay, I got some SR, off the game. And you know, I was playing Xenoverse for like, you know, 2 hours last night, and I didn't want to get off it because I was like the last boss.
But you knew you should get off it.
Not that, but it was like if I don't beat this last boss tonight, I'm gonna be too busy to do it for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So I just want to get it done, and like that's kind of how I felt about it. And that's how I felt about Mass Effect 3 when I had it. I think like school was about to start. I was like in high school. I was like, I just gotta like get it done. Like,
yeah,
I gotta finish it so I can just move on to this next game. And but I feel like now kind of I'm just in a sense where like, I can't sit down for 4 hours. Like, even like going to the next semester of school. So, games like Overwatch and I think CSGO and Siege have these very nice places that I think I've always... Which I think is why they're so popular. I think I'm finally reaching, like, that demographic of, like, who they're kind of looking out for. But it's kind of, like, the people who have disposable income. But, like, only have like an hour to play a day, or
right?
Like 2 hours to play.
Or it's again very sporadic. It's like, you come home and like you need to take a break before you do like your other stuff, like whether it's going to a second job or do schoolwork or whatever, and then you maybe you'll come back and play a few more hours after that.
Like I remember reading like a lot of people were kind of complaining about like a couple years ago, like the Battlefield 3 or 4, where like they sold all of the upgrades for your soldier.
Oh, Battlefield 4, yeah, that was it was really bad. It was really bad.
I remember reading people.
Really bad. 3 had the problem kind of too. But.
Yeah, but I remember people defending them like you know, I don't have any time to play this game. Like it would take me so long to get this stuff, and it's so convenient.
But it was it was also just like the grind was insane. It wasn't as bad as like we all know about the problem. We most of us know about the problems that we had with For Honor. It wasn't as insane as the unlocks in that, but because of the way it's like skill tree based, so like you can only unlock attached to this gun by using this gun and get the next gun by using this class. So when you're doing that thing, you're not helping the other things. Like it was very narrow. So like it made sense, and it was actually pretty fairly priced, I would say. But I get the argument on both sides.
Now going to kind of a different argument, and it's not in the sense of don't have time to play games. But do you ever? I've had this weird spot because I have Rainbow Six Siege and I have Overwatch, and I kind of have my. I say to myself sometimes, I'm like, oh, I can't play Siege. I'm an Overwatch player. Like I, you know, that this sense of like I don't play any other TCG but Magic.
Right.
I'll probably never pick up another TCG in my life.
You're destroying yourself, but all right.
I'm sorry.
Like you, I mean, just because you can learn a lot of things from playing RTCGs. Like I play Yu-Gi-Oh, I play Pokemon.
Like my friends just got picked up. The Final Fantasy, the new Final Fantasy.
I heard that game's really good. I want to try that. Absolutely.
I'll play it, but I most likely, I know myself.
Oh, sure, you want to invest it. That's fine. I thought you meant, like, I'm just never going to, like,
oh, no, not like, play. But, like, I will, like, I invest money in Magic. Like,
oh,
I,
yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Totally get you.
Like, right. I'll sit down, I'll go, I'll spend $100 on this deck or whatever. You know, but I would never sit down and be like, okay, what's this new TCG? Like, I remember my friend played Vanguard while I was playing Magic. He's like, buy decks. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm not. I play Magic.
And in your friend's defense, that game was pretty cheap to pick up in the beginning.
I agree. But what I'm saying is, like, like, when I look at games like Siege, and, like, if someone was like, oh, you should get into, you know, what's another competitive game. Like, I tried playing Hearthstone for a bit.
Yeah,
like, if someone was like, Jack, get into Hearthstone. But I'm like, ooh, yeah, but I'm playing, like, Overwatch all the time. So
right,
I don't want to. I can't get into that one. And, like, is that a new issue that kind of gamers are going to have?
Kind of, I feel like. Like, okay, so I saw, like, a similar issue along the lines of, like, this competitiveness for my attention. Where the other day, I was like, I was playing some games, like, oh, I want to play some games, so I'm working on some applications for LA and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, like, what do I want to do exactly here? And I was like, I'm playing a lot of Player in the Battlegrounds, and I play Overwatch a lot. I guess this place where I have Battlegrounds, I'm like, no, wait, I need to take a short break, and if the game of Battlegrounds goes quick, it means I failed and I'm angry and I want to run it back. The game goes long, and then if I just play a normal game, the game is long. It's like a half an hour for, it's like 20 minutes, half an hour for a game to resolve, like, because it's a long-paced game. It's one of those things where, like, I only actually played one game. Like, if I played it for that time, or I just lost a bunch in a row and I feel bad about myself.
I know, I'll sit down to play Overwatch and I'll be like, okay, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play like two games, I'll go do some work. And all of a sudden, it's like six games
later. Oh, right, yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. Like, it could be because they don't go. Like, I forget that competitive matches are long. Like, they're a long time.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's best 3 out of 5 and not 2 out of 3.
I mean, like, you're there for probably a solid 20, 25 minutes sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah, you forget that. Like, it feels like a regular match. Like,
sure.
Because to me, I don't play quick play. So to me, a regular match is competitive.
Right.
So I sit there, I go, oh, okay, that was one match. And I'm like, oh, that was only three. It's whatever. It's only been like 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, it's been like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's because you get into it.
And I mean, that maps a bit off, but sure.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, it's just, like, I'll zone out. Like, when I'm playing Xenoverse, I'm very well aware of the time that I'm spending on. Like, I'm playing it, I go like, okay, I spent like 2 hours on this game, I can turn it off now. Or like, I'll play a different game. But with Overwatch, it's just like, yeah, because I'm competitive in it.
Mm-hmm.
So once I'm in it, I'm like, argh! Like,
and also, you want to do it right. You're not trying to like haphazard, dude. It's like,
oh yeah, you're
I'm playing Overwatch. Another problem I'm having right now is a group of my friends want to do D&D, and I'm like, I got roped into meeting the DM because I'm kind of like, well, I'm trying to play a character with you when we finally play D&D.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, and then my other friend's like, I don't like. There's like five people who want to play or six people want to be involved. And like, he's like, I don't want to DM for five people. He's like. I guess I'll DM, and now I'm taking this time to make a campaign from scratch, but I have to do other things also, and yeah. It's like, this thing I really want to do with D&D, but I'm like, oh man, that guy's taking like 2 hours a week every week and make sure I'm updating all this information. It's like, what if I, like, I really want to do this, but goddamn, what am I involved with right now? Like,
yeah, I think that's how I feel.
Like, I can just play Overwatch for 2 hours, that's easier.
Like, it's almost as if, like, you know, entertainment, like, again, it kind of goes back to this single-player thing, like Breath of the Wild, and Odyssey, and these games are coming out. Like, any single-player game, like Medal of Honor, Medal of Honor doesn't yell at me for leaving. Medal of Honor isn't like, you're going to miss out on stuff. Medal of Honor is just like, oh, okay, like, I'll be here. Like, just take your time. Like,
you damn millennial!
Yeah, like, you know, do your thing. Like, you know, I pause the mission, I can just pause the mission and walk away.
Yes, the old feature where the game actually stops where you pause it.
Like, you can't pause Overwatch, can't pause any, like, I can't remember the last time.
Trying to explain that to my mom back when I started playing multiplayer, and she's like, just pause it. No, I can't just pause it. Like, I will go get the trash in 5 minutes, I cannot just pause it right now.
Like, that's a new, like, even when I play single player games, I forget that I can pause it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be playing, I'm like, oh,
I've had it happen,
I'm like, oh, I can't pause this. It's going, like, to me, it is, like, I forget that pausing is a thing. Like, I very rarely just pause games. Like, if I ever pause a game, it's, like, to quit. You know what I mean? And even that, I don't quit till, like, I'm done something. And I think this is very interesting because I feel like we're finally at a time where, because, like, a movie, I think movies and books are just two things where, again, like, a book doesn't demand your attention. A movie
has a movie and a book, I would say, God, I had a phrase for it.
They don't give you a terrible dopamine. They kind of do, but they don't give you like a...
They don't command your attention. They earn it through respect. Like, you give it your attention because you want to, because you think they deserve it. Whereas games are always trying to get a hook to, like, keep your attention longer and longer and longer, regardless of whether it may deserve it or not.
I'll say very rarely, like, I will turn off a movie in the first, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah,
I'll say, no, I'm done.
TV show. Yeah,
I will stop reading a book after 10 pages.
Yep.
I very rarely stop playing a game after 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, I will give it probably a full 2 hours before I'm like, this is dumb. Which is interesting, because I feel like, you know, why...
Well, it might also be the conditioning of, like, tutorial levels and stuff.
True,
also,
yeah.
Where it's like, maybe this isn't the actual game yet. Like...
But think about how ingenious that is. Someone can say, like, I know for a fact that most likely this person isn't going to turn off my game. And I only need them to play it for a certain amount of time before they're kind of already invested. Whereas movies are like, I need to get this person watching, like, in the first 10 seconds, or they might turn it off. Or like commercials, like every other media.
Well, the other thing also with movies and stuff is that with games, there is a give and take. There is what is presented to you and what you are willing to give back to the game because you physically need to do something.
Yeah.
Whereas with games and movies, it is all on them. Like, they are in complete control. If it sucks, it's all them. There's no way it can be your fault for sucking. There's no way it can be your fault for not being interesting. And thus, you also, by the fact that you don't need to do anything, you're more likely to give it the leniency of, like, okay, well, like, I'll wait here. Like, all I have to do is wait here, so I'll wait. And it becomes very obvious by the fact that you don't need to put any energy or investment into it that you like or do not like this thing. Whereas in a game, now that your part, your energy, your time, your whatever skill you've put into it is part of that game, you're like, Okay, well, you know what? I did give it this time, so maybe it is good. Maybe we'll go at you, and you almost talk yourself into it.
Yeah, because, I mean, very rarely, I think it's human nature not to... Like, if I played a game for 2 hours and it was bad, like, once I put those 2 hours in, I'm not going to be like, okay, this game is bad. Like, you're right. I wasted 2 hours of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say, no, screw you. Like, I remember my friend bought the AMC Walking Dead game, which was, like, hot garbage. and he...
Oh, my neighbor got that game.
Like, he played it for, like, 3 hours, and, like, everyone was like, sell it back. He's like, no, I didn't waste my money.
Yeah, I didn't waste it.
Like, it's a good game. And he's like, I swear to God, it's good. And, like, but I eventually traded it. But, like, that was interesting. It was this buyer's, like, I spent money, I spent time
buyer's
on
buyer's remorse. Or, like, they'll try not to have that.
Or it was the movie... You know, if I sit down with a movie for 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, this kind of sucks. And then I just turn it off. I don't really waste anything. Because if you sit in a movie for 2 hours, like, you already watched the whole thing. Whereas
now, have you walked out of a movie that you've been to a movie theater for?
Because
that's the real test. Like, you know, when you have other options at your hand and you're not getting anything at all, it's easy to do that.
So here's how I feel. So I think I do... So here's what's interesting. So years ago when movies weren't too expensive... Like, I was like, I was okay with seeing a bad movie.
Sure.
Kind of thing. Whereas now, instead of me walking out of movies, I just don't go. You know what I mean?
It's almost
as if, like,
You're just waiting for the DVD more times than not.
Yeah, like, if the price of movies were the same, maybe I'd be walking out more. Like, this is bad, I'm out. You know? But instead of that, it's, I now do research into this movie before I see it. Like, I'm like, let me see the trailer, let me see the reviews.
Right, and thus, doesn't it also play into games in that way? Where, like, even if it's, like, a Telltale game, it's, like, a game that you don't actually play. Like,
I do that with games all the time now. Like, I will Google the crap out of games.
Right, but I'm saying even if, like, because even reviews and stuff can be misleading and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, and, like, even gameplay, some games are more fun to watch someone play than to actually play it for a lot of people. And so, like, again, like, with Twitch and stuff, that's how that works. So isn't, like, the fact that you pay $40 or you pay $60 in some cases, you can't get the refund, isn't that, like, also part of it, too?
I'm trying to think of a game where I spent money on it. I kind of, like, defended it and, like, played it.
Halo 4.
Yeah, Halo 4 is one. I didn't really play Halo 4.
I
forced my brother to buy Brink for, like, $40.
That's a good one.
I hung on to that game for, like, a solid 2 weeks. Like, I was like, this game isn't trash. And then I even convinced myself, like, this is how bad it was. Because I knew it was garbage. Like, I was playing, I'm like, oh my god, like, my brother's gonna kill me. Like, this game's garbage. And I was, like, playing a match, and I convinced myself. I didn't really know how Xbox Live worked. I was, like, probably, like, 14 or 13. I was, like, just getting into, like, online gaming.
Sure.
I convinced myself I was, like, playing online matches, even though I wasn't. Like, I was like, look at these other players. And it was, like, a guy, like, going up and down, like, on the railing. Like oh, what a dunce.
And, like, you see what happens to us, like, not in the monetary sense, but, like, for example, when we played Medal of Honor, the other...
Homefront.
That game
was garbage.
We played the Homefront beta, and it was garbage, and none of us wanted to say in the video that it was garbage.
We both knew, though.
We both kind of knew. But, like, and that's not to say that we didn't enjoy playing it, just we got content out of it. It was fun as a joke. But let's say we weren't making a video and we were playing that game. We still probably would have played through all the missions before we were willing to say that it was garbage, because it was like, well, maybe there's something there. You know, we played through that entire beta. We were getting good content out of it, but even if we weren't getting the best content out of it, I think we still would have played all of the missions before we said, okay, this is garbage. But at that point, did we not just play everything that we were presented?
I think even Ghost Recon Wildlands was the same thing.
I think it was fun,
but, like, I think there was a point where I was like, probably like an hour in, where I was like, oh my god.
I feel like this is a game where you need more people, from what I've seen. Like, I feel like you need four people, like, two people in here. You need, and also, like, and the beta for that also dropped you just in the middle, whereas instead of starting from the beginning, I feel like that was, like, a little bit skewed, but sure.
I remember we started playing The Division the first time, and there was no voice.
Oh, right.
And we were just like...
I don't know. I still don't know if that was, like, our wiring or what was up with that.
I remember seeing that. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is a bad start.
Yeah.
Like, we're in some trouble.
But we still played it. Like...
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
And that was better, but yeah.
I think betas are very smart. I think this new early access thing is very smart. We're like, you know... A game is like, give me $30, you can play it early access. So it's not done. It will be done, but, you know, I mean, like, that's like that.
What's this side? It will be done.
Like,
what's this?
It will be like
that. What's that part?
It will be done. Like, that's the thing. Like, early access, like, we played golf with friends, which was, you know, that was only like $5. But like, they could add nothing more to that game. I would not even notice.
I've already for $5? Yeah.
I've already spent money. It's early access. I don't know what the hell he's on.
We played for like 2 hours, so yeah. $5, sure. It's less than a movie.
I guess that's how I think early access. Like, there are like early access games where it's like $40. I'm like, okay, what kind of shit you pulling here? Like, why am I paying $40 to have early access to your game when $40 is basically the full price
right,
of a game?
Right. In some of those cases, like Battlegrounds, is like we don't have investors, we don't have money, but we have a game and we have a good idea, and you can see that right now for other people. So by giving us this money, it lets us. It's basically like all the crowdfunding things where for physical goods, where it's like, by the way, you get the physical good. It's like the base level or like near the base level is like just pre-ordering.
And then you have We Happy Few, which does not exist. Anyway, like, I have not heard anything about that game in like 3 years.
But then you have games like Hello Neighbor, where it's completely different every time you play it.
Yeah. So I think it's just very cool. So I want to move on to this other cool article that I have. But so, let's kind of talk about...
The topic isn't over yet?
No, let's kind of finish this one. It's because the next one is different. But this is very...
Get locked out for not touching your keyboard.
I just find video game entertainment specifically very fascinating. Just because it is going through so many changes at once. It is going... Like, there's VR, there's these new competitive things. Like, the fact that, like, pro sports teams are now buying into Overwatch teams.
Did the 76ers buy like a team or something like that? Yeah.
So like the fact that all of this is happening all at once, it's very cool to kind of to have been there, and
to be seeing it, not hearing about it, but like you were there before, and now you're seeing it like how it's changing.
Yeah, like I'm seeing Overwatch more in the news than I did before. I'm seeing articles about video games more than I did before. I was watching Candy Crush on TV yesterday. Like I don't know what the sound was off. I was at a restaurant. There's these people just playing Candy Crush on, like, a game show. I was like,
oh, yeah, no, I've seen that. Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
Right.
Like, I'm like, gaming is just making its way. Like, it is just forcing its... Like, it's like Marvel, too. Like, geekdom is just forcing its way into the culture. And, you know, and gaming in general is just forcing its way in because it's now to the point where it is so good. You know, it's so entertaining and so much fun. That is, and it's making that much money.
Well, I think the other reason, so I forgot who said this. I want to say it was something kind of funny that I listened to, but some podcast I was listening to was basically saying, like, and I think this is a really good reason, that the reason a lot of, like, you're seeing more games now and more, like, entertainment, pop culture related stuff, like sci-fi, whatever, the reason you're seeing it more now talked about is because of the internet, and then also now that the internet has become so influential, you see it on, like, TV and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's because for years there was a stigma around, like, writing about, you do, like, video game journalism, or you do entertainment journalism, because, like, for years it was always, like, real journalism is about, like, being on the front lines of a war, or being that person. It's always been about not always positive things, because as a journalist, you're supposed to be committed, so it's, like, you get good things, you get bad things, and you need to be able to report both of them evenly and do it well, no matter how much that is on you, whereas, like, you look at people who report on video games, and it was always about, like, almost always positive. It was, like, when it's negative, it doesn't affect you. Like, when you're reporting something negative in, like, real news, it's like, oh, I have to stand here in an Afghanistan war zone and do this reporting, which takes its toll on you, whereas, like, you report something bad at video games, like, oh, this game got delayed, I guess I'll go play this other game instead, and there was always a stigma about, like, oh, you're not real news, because you're always positive, it's always just spreading positivity, you're never having to drill down, you're never having to, like, sacrifice part of you for that, and I think now that we're over that, it's getting into that, now that people are sick of, like, you know, seeing that stuff, and now the internet gave it a voice, and people are like, oh, this is like people actually care about. Okay, so now we'll get into it. Now you see it popping up on TV with Candy Crush on a game show.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really exciting is all of that happening. And also, like, to kind of speak of gaming journalism, this other very funny subject is just to show how goofy games are getting. Because I don't think this has happened in a while.
What is this?
Hello. So, this article, so moving on from this, so entertainment, gaming, all over the place.
And see, I thought my topic was going to bridge into your topic well, but I guess we're going to get to another topic that won't bridge.
This is me kind of like witnessing how gaming is just changing. So Fallout 4 commercial is morally indefensible. So, you remember that Wanderer commercial? Or it's like him. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. Fun fact.
Cool. The singer, I don't know what song it was, but
it's
sure.
Called The Wanderer by Dion.
Oh, I just remember the commercial for The Wanderer.
So,
okay,
Dion
sure.
DiMucci. Best known for Runaround Sue and The Wanderer, he thought it was repugnant. He thought it was morally, indefensible, and he is suing Bethesda.
For using the song. But he licensed the song, or he the company owns the rights licensed the song.
He did. So, but apparently in the contract, when they license it, they have to ask him if what it is being used for is okay.
And did they do that?
They did not.
Okay, well then that's just a breach of contract. It's pretty basic.
True, but apparently this is like a big thing because, I mean, obviously, it's been out for, he's like doing it now. Like, it's been out.
It takes years to actually get a lawsuit accepted.
That's true. But I'm interested in what do you think? So, I mean, obviously there's that.
They broke a contract. It's his art. It's his creation. It's like, so someone contracted us. It's almost like, hey, we really like, we're doing a documentary on video games, on video games. And you guys are part of this young generation of, even though you're not making money off it, you spend your time working on content around video games. Can we use clips of your stuff in our documentaries? And sure, we just want to make sure that you're using us in a way that it's positive for gaming and not in a way it's negative. And they're like, all right. And then they didn't show us the documentary and they snipped out all this stuff where we just swear and stuff like that. And they're like, look at this generation. Look at like how uncultured and something like that. Yeah, absolutely. We'd be upset. It's the same thing. This is his art. This is his creation. And he.
I mean, but his song is also, I mean, there is no mention of his song being in the game, and his song is in the game. He's just mentioning purely this. But I'm just wondering, you know, because it's not saying, you know, I just find it interesting under the idea of he just doesn't like that his song is, because he's basically talking about in the sense of he's like, this song does not represent Fallout 4. He's like, what's going on in Fallout 4 is not what my song is about. I would say most of the song is
about Fallout 4. You're saying Fallout 4 doesn't represent the song of the song. It'd be the other way around.
Sure, yes.
It'd be the other way
around. He's like, my song. Like,
these are not mutually exclusive themes that are actually counter argumentative to both.
He's like, my song is about a coming of age boy, about this whole thing, which I didn't know was about that. But I'm interested. So, do you think he does check on every single like thing that he's probably licensed? I wonder if he does.
If it's in the contract, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I just find it very interesting because, I've never seen a lawsuit like this before.
Sure.
I think it's very fascinating on that sense. But it's interesting, do you think, let's say we're watching a movie.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, one of the characters is watching us. And, we have this YouTube video of these two guys. This is put them on TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's say the kid's like a serial killer. And would we call someone and be like, hey?
Well, I mean, they talk to us, absolutely.
That's true.
Free money, that way. Okay, so let's say they talk to us. And are you saying that we do have the
grounds? Let's say they said, can we use a video of you two in a movie? And we're like,
do we have the grounds to approve it? Or do we have the grounds, or is it just yes or no?
We'll say yes or no. We'll be like, they just say, hey, we're going to give you $10,000, and we're going to put you in this thing. We're not going to tell you what it is. Like, we're just going to put you in the movie.
And then they do that.
They give us $10,000, and we're kind of like, hey, like, whoa, don't put us in the video of a serial killer kind of thing. You know, and obviously we didn't put that in our contract.
Depends if it's artistic or not.
True, but, yeah. But I'm interested, like, you know.
I mean, I may be mad, but I'm not going to sue. It's like, I agree to this.
I just find it very interesting.
This is the thing, right? If you care that much, you put the clause in there like he did.
True.
And that's why he's suing. Like, it's not like this is a guy who didn't care until it happened. He cared from the beginning, and thus it's fine. You can't, it's one of those things where, like, you can't. God, I'm gonna get political for a second. You can't retroactively shape your views and opinions. So, like, one of the things that gets me mad about, like, I'm a libertarian, basically, and one of the things that gets me mad about people who I know that are Republican are the fact that it's like they see things and they can't bring it over to other people's focuses. So Republicans, not saying all Republicans are like this, but Republicans are like, government, stay off my lawn. Government, let me do what I want. Free gun laws, free this laws, blah blah. And then they can't take a moment to be like. But then they want the government to regulate who can marry each other and who can adopt kids and like and who can have abortions and stuff like that, which is counter-argumented to the fact that they don't want government to regulate their business, their homes, their guns. Like, if you're so much about self-decision, then you can't say you want the government to make decisions for people just because it doesn't affect you. Like, or even if you are gay or whatever, like you don't get to have both opinions. It's the same thing here. You can't freely license yourself away without those contingencies and stuff like that, and then get mad after the fact when people try to do other things.
Sure.
Like,
so I guess I wonder, you know, what do you think Bethesda or, you know, their companies are going to do? You know,
if they can't prove that they got his approval, then they pay him out. It's pretty cut and dry.
I mean, granted, he's only asking for, like, literally $1 million.
Here's the thing. He's not suing on the grounds that...
Sure.
He's not suing on the grounds that it ruins his song. he's suing on the grounds that they broke the contract, and he also, he's just saying, like, hey, listen, if I agree with this, I wouldn't be suing, but I really don't agree with this, and because in the contract, I'm using my legal grounds. Like, I've saw this article before, or I didn't see that one, but I saw on another site, because that's on Kotaku, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see it on Kotaku, I saw somewhere else on some random site.
I just found it very interesting in the sense, I was reading, I was like, wow, like, I wasn't saying, you know, I was like, I mean, I guess, reading it, he does have the right to do it. I just found it very interesting, because I've never seen someone go like, oh, my song is in this film. I don't think...
Let's be real, the argument's
very weird. Like, it's a very...
Let's be real here. Do you think the Beatles wouldn't have sued DC after what they did to their song?
For
Justice League?
Oh.
Do you think the Beatles wouldn't have sued?
I don't think they would have. Like, I think they would have. I just think of every... It made me think...
Right, it was
like,
the Beatles, right? Not Rolling Stones?
For Justice League.
Yeah, they're coming together.
I just find it very interesting.
They use the Rolling Stones song or something else, too.
I just find it very interesting just in the sense of I don't think of songs and go, like, oh, if that song's in that movie, I put that together. Like, it's just, I just find...
Well, here's the thing, right? Here's a great example, and the internet's gonna love that. Bring it up. All Star by Smash Mouth. That's... Shrek is the only thing they're known for now.
That is
everyone
true.
Just ties All Star Shrek, and they hate the movie. They hate Shrek. They hate everything it's done to them.
They ruined their career. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's true. I had never seen something like someone going like, oh, because he was saying like if they had come to me, I would have changed the commercial. I would have allowed to change it into some way that fits. I was like, wow, that's right. Also, I thought Dion was dead, so I was like, that's even more interesting. The fact that he was alive.
He's alive and he's suing.
But I just found the whole thing interesting because it made me think. Because I'm sure, obviously you have to license every song. But I wonder, what if you did watch a movie after someone licensed your song and you're like, oh my god. Like,
I'm sure it's happened. Like, I feel like I've heard, stories like this before. Like, it happens.
But I've never heard it in the sense of, gaming, though.
Sure.
Because I feel like, to me, having Dion, who's, in the 19th, man from the 60s, my grandpa's age.
Right.
Going like, whoa, wait a minute. That game, I'm like, what? I didn't know he was aware of it.
I mean, to be honest, I think it's probably happened before. It's just again, with the it's a bigger thing now. Like, you have outlets at Kotaku who you go to on the regular for news. So when it does happen, you hear about it now.
I think it's pretty cool. It's also kind of
sure. I mean,
I think it's cool
kind of
thing about
also, but
okay. I think it's cool thing about how games are also at that point.
So what's the theme of this subtopic here?
I don't know. I just wanted to go. I think I built it off of the idea of the fact that a commercial like Fallout 4 can get this kind of lawsuit activity. Or, I mean, I remember, I'm pretty sure it was shown on the Super Bowl, too, or something like that. I'm pretty sure gaming content was shown then. Like, to me, it's this idea of I'm just seeing games, gaming news, and, I'm seeing games in these settings and in these atmospheres where I didn't see games before. You know what I mean? Let's say I think if a game used a song in... Let's think of a really a game like Firewatch, which was very indie. If they used a song, and maybe they didn't get his attention, but would they have gotten the same thing? I think Fallout 4 is very big.
Sure.
And
I don't know.
I think it's very weird topic, but I just stuck out to me today. And again, the contract thing is very simplified. I mean, yes, they broke a contract. I agree. But on the other, I'm just kind of, it made me think of art. In general, I was like, well, what if someone took my song? Or what if remember we were on that Inquisitor thing one time?
Yeah.
And they didn't even contact us. We were just kind of boop on it.
Yeah.
But granted, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, right, but think about this way. That's a great example. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
The contacts. So let's go right to that example,
exactly,
right?
Let's go to that.
So that video was, if you guys haven't seen it, is a news story we did on the guy who maxed out World of Warcraft with a dance pad, using a DDR pad. What if that site was as a foreign guy. This is a foreign guy. What if that site was some alt-right site that was people out of the country are taking your money. Look at what your children are watching. You're watching this. They're just spending, instead of spending time,
here's two losers spouting off some shit.
Let's say they're trying to talk shit on this guy. Oh, your kids aren't learning shit anymore. They're watching some random Swedish he's some European dude. I'm sorry about that. Guy just play video games on DDR pad and getting money and something like that. Like, think of that. That was the actual article, and they used our video to explain it because they didn't even want to bother explaining it. We would be very upset about that because that's not our interpretation of the story, and that's not what we support in gaming.
But I remember when that happened, I thought I was like, oh, geez. Like, that's us. Huh? And it was a very weird, like, oh, man, like, you know, they didn't ask. Like, they just grabbed us. And I'm like, wow, like, this is interesting.
And it wasn't even, like, a quote. It was like, oh, here's just the video. Just, no link to the channel or anything. Like, well, here's just the video.
Like, I'm always, that's why I found this article so interesting, is because I'm always, like, I use music in my movies. In projects. I'll just rip a song off for a project, then I'll just grab footage or pictures. Like, we'll grab articles. We'll cite them and everything. Yeah.
But at the same time, we use fair use articles, and
sure,
we have our own music library for our own
stuff. Like, I personally have never been in the situation where, you know, except for that our Inquisitor, it wasn't like, you know, the New York Times took us.
Right.
You know, it was Inquisitor. But, you know, it was interesting where I'm like, wow, now I'm even reading this article, I go, wow, what if someone did use one of our videos in, like, you know, like, title, you know, like, oh, Nazis are the best. And, like, there's our video sitting there, and the movie has never noticed. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute, we don't like that. And it is, I just never thought about stuff like that sometimes. You know, I never thought of things like, what if I put someone's song in my video or in my game, and all of a sudden they go, well, that's not what my song represents. I never thought of a song like that. Like, you know, like Freebird in The Kingsman, where, like, he just murders a shit ton of people. I'm like, wow, you know, what if the engineer didn't like that?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you can't use that song. You know, which I'm sure it's happened, but I never see it. That happens beforehand. You know, then you just see the results. And I just found that it was another look into, like, you know, the art world in general, into, like, and how, you know, even someone so goes, I don't want my song in that, or I don't want my game in that. And that's what made me think about us. And, like, what if someone was like,
sure,
we're going to use Mike and Jack in a thing. And so we, you know, and we're like, oh, crap. And I don't know, do you think size, like, do you think even us, we'd be like, hey, no. And they'd be like, no, screw you guys.
Like, the issue of lawyering up is the monetary issue, but
sure,
it's not unwinnable. Like, it's like, if we did it, we would win. In that case, it wouldn't be, it'd be a civil suit, so, like, we would be getting money. Like, I think there's things where it's like, you're trying to prosecute and take people to jail, and there's things where you're just trying to get money. And so, like, it depends which one you're going for, but that's not what this podcast is about at all. No. So we're not going to get into that.
That's fine. But I saw this fun little article today, and I was, you know, it made me, I was, like, in this weird, like, gaming room, like, what's gaming up to? And I was like, wow, crap. Like, this is a, I never would have thought I'd see Fallout 4 in that situation.
Sure.
Like, the fact that, I associate doo-wop with Fallout, I'm like, every person's okay with it.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, no! I'm like, wait a minute, I never really thought about it like that. That's interesting. But that's what I got today. Sure you must have had something for me to talk about, hopefully.
So this is probably not as long as you guys, your topics. Rolling back to your original topic about how, like, games and the way we play games are definitely changing and how that relates to people. We just got done over the weekend. What just wrapped up was Games Are Quick, Summer Games Are Quick.
I wrote that down today.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to talk about it, so I didn't bother, like, going into it. I knew you were going to bring it up.
Yeah, so people that don't know, Games Are Quick is a organization of people who are speedrunners. You know what speedrunners are? They're people who play games with the sole intent of completing the game as fast as possible. It's not about enjoying the game necessarily for its content. It is a challenge. It is a competition.
Do you speedrun?
I don't speedrun.
Okay, I don't either.
Yep. And so Games Are Quick is an organization that hosts a bunch of these events. They stream on Twitch, and they send a bunch of money to Doctors Without Borders, I think is usually their main. I know they have other charities.
It's like medical things.
Yeah, it's usually Doctors Without Borders that is the big thing. And I think they're also heavily involved with Extra Life campaign. And so they do two big ones, Summer Games on Quick and Winter Games on Quick. And they get a bunch of people together, and they stream for, like, I think it was like 4 or 5 days this time, where they constantly are streaming speedrunners. They have guests come in. They have people literally fly in to spend their time doing this. There's a whole big part of this is, like, so one of the biggest things speedrun is Samus, or Metroid 2, I believe.
Is that, that's a popular one?
Well, say it's Metroid 2. Well, they do it every time.
Okay.
And one of the things is, so when you're playing the game, you can decide whether or not you want to save the animals, which is, like, it doesn't change how you play the game at all, except for the fact you have to do, like, an extra step, or you have to, like, negate an extra step. I forget what it is exactly. And there's a huge charity part of it where you're just donating money, and, like, you donate it to one or the other, whether you want them to save the animals or let the animals die. And just that alone raises, like, thousands of dollars of people just being like, well, save the animals. And someone just comes at the last minute all the time and donates, like, $10,000, like, just swinging.
I read that they were doing, Earthbound, right? And they were naming their character. I guess in Earthbound, you name your character and you name, like, what your favorite drink or whatever. They had like they raise like thousands of dollars and just raise it, like just trying to figure out
right,
the
yeah,
name of the character.
Right. And so I really want to discuss we don't speedrun, but I want to discuss your opinion on these people who play games like totally different from us. And I'm sure these people also play games in the fact that they enjoy games, they take time to they take time to play out a full game like GTA or whatever, and they actually enjoy a story. But for them, their real high isn't the fact that, and yes, it can equate to like Overwatch where we play to get better than other people. But it's about playing the game in a way that negates the art, it negates the work and the detail, and it is about can I do this as fast as possible, ignoring as much as possible.
To me, I find it utterly fascinating. I find it utterly fascinating because I have never thought about it once in my life. I have never sat down and said, how can I beat this as fast as possible? I find it completely perplexing. I don't understand it. Like,
right, for me, it's like, how can I, like, and I'm not gonna get, like, super distracted by side quests. Like, I'll...
Is that Jedi Outcast 2? Like,
yes, Jedi Outcast 2 is one they did.
How fast was that one?
I don't remember what it was.
That's up top. You'll stay up top.
No, this is what starts. It starts at this
point.
Oh,
line. I thought it was the time they did it.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I can find it later.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So yeah, they, just to recap before we get into it, this year they ended up raising $1.7 million.
See, that, to me, that's not a negligible number.
Right.
I mean, that's not like your local canned food drive. Like,
right. No,
that's like a chunk of change that you
That's
raise.
Like something you get, like if a baseball team is doing a fundraiser, but they're like, oh, 10% tickets or food or whatever goes to fundraising. Like, that's that amount right there. Like
you know, this is like, I remember, like, I see that, I go, like, I mean, that means people are watching this. That
right.
That means there's a large amount of people who are investing either, like, $1 or, like, $2. Like, I mean, they probably get big ones. I mean, like, no
they
one...
They get huge ones.
I mean, I don't...
I think there was one year where, like, I don't quote this, I mean, exactly. There are people, like, do, like, there's, like, mad shade in this community, too. Like, this is, like, the Magic community, and this is, like, a whole different section of the gaming community. Like, we talked about before how we enjoy the fact that esports are on the rise, but we're not in the esports community. Like, if someone came to us and told us to explain them who's hot in esports right now, like, we couldn't answer that.
I mean, Dude2 was talking about how the speed runs, like, there's, like, a time error. And like, it was like a
oh,
whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. Their clock was off for like most of the beginning of the event.
It's
and like, so
it's
they had to go and re-clock all the times to see because there was records broken, and now they had to be like, oh, well, maybe they didn't break the record. So like they had to go re-time them physically watching the video now.
And like I here's my thing. I don't understand, like, you know, like, let's say you beat like Final Fantasy in like whatever, like 15 minutes. Like something like A, something completely boggles my mind.
Right.
Like that's A. But B, like, there are people who are like to me, like, a video game is data, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's data. And, like, everything you do is designed. Like, every character has a set speed, has a set thing, a set frame rate. Like, all this stuff is set. But somehow you can get a shorter time. I don't get it. Like, people... But, like, and I do love how the community, like, they're not, like... They don't, like, do it in minutes. Like, they... You know what I mean? Like the records are broken in like milliseconds.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like the records are broken.
It is like a second or two max. I think like there was a Mario one we reported on before, and the guy broke it by like 4 seconds, and it was huge because he found a new way to break it. And so I looked at like all the other previous records, and they were all like half a second, like quarter of a second off. But then this guy got 4 seconds off because he found something no one found before.
I think I remember reading about that where it was like this.
You read the story with me.
That's why I sound so familiar. I was saying, I'm like, why is this clicking in my head right now? And that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it is just utterly fascinating because I don't think about it ever. I never, like, Jedi Outcast 2, like, to me, that's the game. Like,
I never beat that game.
I'm like,
to start.
I never
like...
beat it. I'm like, B, how do you speedrun? I'm like, what do you mean you speedrun it? Like, they're like, oh, I jump off this bridge. I'm somehow in the last level. Like,
and in the Star Wars games, like, don't you care about what's going on? Like, I need to know the lore. I need to know everything that's happening. You're just like,
and wait, and you're allowed to glitch, right? Or you're not allowed to glitch.
I mean, they'll set rules, but like glitching in speedrunning in general is
expected.
Oh, not expected. Close. Encouraged.
Okay, so I remember like watching a guy do like Half-Life 2, and like he like just jumped on like this thing and like somehow fell into like the last level. Like he didn't.
Yeah,
like to me it's not because like, I guess like. Cause to me, it breaks games in the sense where I'm like, okay, that's weird. Where like they're like, oh, I fell into the last level because the game, you know, it's not like the game isn't loaded. The whole game is loaded. You have to just get to the place. So he's like, oh yeah, the last level is like right here. So I'm just gonna fall into it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Like, oh, there was a Skyrim one we did before too, where it wasn't the DDR one. It was a speedrun one. Actually, you weren't around. I did that one. And it was just like the guy, one of the things was just like, oh yeah, if you enter and exit your menu in a certain speed, it'll confuse the game. So you normally have to like hold something to sprint, but if you do this at a certain speed, it'll confuse it and think you're always holding a sprint or something along that line. So that you can do other things.
Like, I wonder, kind of, like, it's huge. Like, it's not like this is a small...
This is a huge portion of the gaming community. Like, whether you're just watching or whether you're doing it also.
Like, so it's a huge population of the community, which also fascinates me. But it's also just fascinating in the sense of, like, they just play... Like, you're not playing the same... Like, the whole guilty pleasure thing. You're not playing the game again. Like, you're almost like, it's almost like you're exercising.
Oh, it's turning every game into competitive Overwatch as well.
Like, it's not even that sense. It's like, it's not even like you're not, because like to me, when I watch these speedruns, they're not even playing it. They're kind of just moving in like this digital space, and are like, I'm going to get from this point in the digital space to the end in like this set amount of time. And like, I love listening to the commentators, and they're like, Oh, he skipped like this dialogue, and like they said, like, and like they get all because they know what, because like they know it. You know what I mean?
And I get it for some games, like Mirror's Edge is a game that's like designed for speedruns and to get people in speedrunning. That's a game that's made for that. And like, oh, so like when I was on Jersey and I Snapchatted you that like I was trying to be a time trial that my brother's trying to unlock all this stuff in Mario Kart. I was trying to be a time trial and I end up beating it, and then I end up beating it by so much that I'm in like the top like 5% or whatever of people. I was like, I think it was actually like they don't like show you everyone at the exact time, but like I'm in like the top like 5 or 10% of people in the world who did the time trial. And like for me, it was like, oh, I spent like an hour trying to like beat it, and I kept like doing the thing where like, oh, I know I messed up like within like 20 seconds, and I would restart immediately because I'm like, oh, there's no point playing. So I get that, but like for me, like the fact that like people do it to these games that like aren't meant to like be time, like I get it with Mario, and I get it with like racing games and like also, but then you're doing it with like goddamn like Jedi Knight 2. You're doing it with Metroid. You're doing it with like all the Zeldas.
Doing with Final Fantasy, which I'm like, Final Fantasy definitely has cutscenes. I'm like,
yeah, and it's like literally it's an RPG where like it's all about the side quests. Like it's like you basically just said like all like, and like, I'm sure that's not how they feel, but like on a base level, you're just like, fuck all that work that was done. Like, I don't care about any of it. Give me the end.
Like, I know for me, like, I remember me and my buddy played, like, SSX, the new one, and that was the only game where I got, like, this fierce competitive, like, we would play the same mountain, like, over and over. Like, we'd be at a party, like, doing, like, and I remember if I missed a turn, I just started the whole thing over again. I'm like, nope, gonna lose. And, like, that's still, again, racing games, like, trick games, like, points, like, but to me, I don't know what it takes to get into that community. I don't know, like, what... To me, getting into a competitive game, I'm like, oh, I play Call of Duty, and I kind of, like, upgraded up into competitive Overwatch. To me, I'm like, what? How do you get into speedrun? Like, how does it start? I couldn't even begin... If I'm like, I want to get into speedrunning, I wouldn't even know where to go. Like, I wouldn't even, like, do I go buy Mario? Do I go buy these games? Do I have to practice? Do I just copy what they did? Like, it's fascinating to watch, because like, competitive gaming, like, you're kind of playing against variables, like, which is the other person. But in speedrunning, your variables are almost like, oh, if I make...
Your variables are pre-programmed.
Yeah, your variables are like, oh, no, if I make a mistake, I have to actually play the game. Like, my goal is to not...
Play the game.
My goal is to not play the game.
I wonder if they get, like they get a kick off comedy, like, a god, like, yes! You can't do anything. Like, you want me to stop, but I won't. Like you designed all these things to be in my way, and look how fast I go through them. Like, they get this guy complex.
Yeah, like, I remember watching them play Monkey Ball, and, like, I like watching Twitch streams of games I don't know.
Right.
Because I like seeing, like, you know, like, we're in the Magic community. So, like, there are jokes in the Magic community, or, like, there are, like, you know, there are this lingo that we use.
Right.
That we just get. Like, there are lingos, like, you know, there's lingos in Overwatch. You know, like, just, you just get, and you forget what it's like
to not know it.
To not know
the
lingo.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, so one for me is like, I'll be like, oh, that's plus.
Yeah.
Like, and like my family will be like, what are you talking about? Like I'll say, but there was one I did the other day, and my friend actually had to stop me, like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
Oh my god, what was it? God, it was really funny too, because like I didn't realize how out of context how terrible that word like or phrase like must like seem just randomly hearing it. I was like, you got savaged, like,
oh yeah,
and they were like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh right, like that's not normal conversation. Like,
the most I've ever felt it is So my example is always Magic and the games like Overwatch, where like you're using like Reinhardt or Tracer or, you know, Symmetra. These are if I were to say the word Symmetra to someone,
that's a name. Like that's different
though. Yeah, but you don't know. I talk about Overwatch with people who have never touched a video game.
Sure.
And so my friend Colin is a huge sports nut, huge, and like him and my roommate will talk about sports.
Symmetra's a safety.
And it sounds like complete gibberish. But I remember I had my friend over, and we were talking about video games in front of him and Magic, and he sat there and looked at me. He goes, "I literally don't know what you're talking about." He's like, "You are using words that do not make sense."
These words have no definitive meaning that they should be strung along the other.
Yeah, like someone's talking about the weather, you can listen. But he was listening to talk about Magic. He just probably was like, "He's like, wow, they are like." I hear a word and my brain doesn't know where to put it.
It's like having a theater major, or like having a scientist listen to a theater major, or vice versa. Like with another theater major and a scientist. Like
that's why I like watching games done quick, because I'm watching a game that I know, but they have like phrases for things that are happening.
Yeah,
and I just sit there and I go, what on earth?
Oh, like he diddled the pixel. Like what is diddling the pixel?
Like, yeah, he's
what?
like oh, he's gonna. This is Monkey.
Not that we're making fun of them.
No, but I'll be watching it and they'll be like, oh, like this is Super Monkey Ball 2. Like, oh, he's about to do the level 2-2 thing. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even know there was a level 2-2 thing. I'm like, what's the level 2-2 thing? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, who found this? How do you find it? I love it because I think, so it's not even about, so like, I respect games done quick, not in the sense of like, wow, they're very good at games. I respect them in the sense I'm like, how the hell did you break the game?
It's the dedication and the time, you could be spending this time just getting enjoyment out of the game as it is, and you're like, no.
Like that's my respect. No. Like there's I have respect for people who are good at games, but there's just this different respect of like people who find out like
you could
like,
just play SpongeBob Bikini Bottom Bash, but no, you want to break the game level by level, moment by moment.
Yeah. So like I found a frame that if I touch it, I fall to the final boss.
The developer forgot to actually extend the wall past this part, thinking that people would see the graphic of the wall and not try to walk any farther. But I happened to do so, and now I can go past this part and drop into here.
So not, and again, it's not only that; it's they found that. Which shortened the game by 5 minutes. Like, no, I found that. I found every single one of them.
Right.
I found every single one. I know how to do it perfectly. I can somehow jump. So again, because also you forget, they're doing it quick. Yeah. So it's not like they...
What? No, it's not like it's part of the name or anything.
Yeah, so it's not only the fact that like they know what to do. They're also just that good at the game. In the sense of like, they're like, I know, like, I take pride when I play Time Crisis 3 in the fact that I have memorized the entire first stage. I know where everyone is and where everyone comes from. I like plow through it. And like, I take like great pride in that. But that's the only thing I kind of relate to in games done quick. Like, I just put like 3/4 in, like, 4/4.
So what I'm hearing is we need to get you on the next GDC. GDQ, and then
GDQ Time Crisis 3, man. That first stage is done. 2 minutes. Okay, actually, it's on a timer, so we really can't do anything. But that's the only game where I was like, sit down and be like, I'll play with someone. They're like, why are you so good? I'm like, dude, I literally have half this game memorized. I seek out Time Crisis in arcade. I seek it out. I found Time Crisis 6. I like pooped my pants. And I was like, no, 5. I think it was 5. I think I walked into an arcade and I was just like, I wonder if Time Crisis 5 is out. I look over to my left. I'm like, oh my God, someone get me a dollar bill.
Just an update. There is no Time Crisis 6.
Oh yeah, dude, type in 5.
There is 5. There, it auto-completed 5 when I started typing it.
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm gonna see what that looks like. Make sure it's what I'm thinking of. But like, I remember just walking. That's the only game where I'm like, okay, this is like my life. Like, this is like the game. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my thing that my mistake. Yeah, where is it? Yeah, it's not good though. I wasn't very a big fan of 5. 3. 3 is the best one. 3 is the best Time Crisis. Just in case anyone is wondering, Time Crisis 3, best one. Time Crisis 2 is close second, but. Other than that, I game's done quick. Podcast not done quick.
Yeah, right?
We should do a podcast done quick.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to wrap.
Podcast done.
I think we covered everything I want to cover with games done quick.
So, I guess, you know, this will be probably, we'll do another one for a little while.
We'll see.
We'll be back to school soon. August will be back. And then check out all the other
things. We'll get some more in before we get back.
Sure. I hope so. This is my favorite part. So, but... No, hey.
What are you talking about? I definitely.
What are you talking about?
Just close down the show.
No. Now we're just going to sit here in silence. No, that's bad. That's bad practice. But thank you guys for watching. You can find us on Facebook. You can find... Where can they find us? I always forget. It's your...
Why did you start putting Facebook first?
Well, what? Twitter first? What
you don't need to even link it. Oh, my God. I'm going to... let me show you how it's done. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you guys want to follow us at our Twitters, I'm at The Mighty Mike.
I'm at The Red Baron.
We also have a YouTube, Twitter. You can find links to that in the description down below. Also, our Facebook page where we post, along with our Twitter page, a bunch of interesting stories and things that we don't get to make videos on or just things we want to talk to you guys about. If you guys want to get more great content, make sure to subscribe. Check out a bunch of the other videos. We got gameplay. We got news. We got podcasting. Do a lot. You like games, you like entertainment? Just come chill with us. We're just here to be your good old friends and get away from the world for a bit.
You had that memorized, you bastard.
No, I'm just really... Guy, we can't do outros anymore! Stop starting with Facebook!
Okay, fine, here we go, ready?
You can talk about Facebook. I already did it! It's done! It's done!
Ahem, you can find us on Twitter.
At the I already did it!
At the Red Baron. You can also find us on LinkedIn. Alright, oh crap.
Time to power down.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.